Good morning. Start with a brief word of prayer. Brief word of prayer. Father, thank you for this morning, Lord. We just want to give you praise this morning, Lord. And we just desire to meet with you and hear from you, Lord. So would you come and just remove any hindrances or strongholds that's hindering us from really receiving all that you have in store for us, as you know, you have so much that you want to give to us, even early in the morning. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you turn with me to Jonah chapter 4. Jonah chapter 4. So in Jonah chapter 3, what just happened is, huge revival broke out after Jonah preached his five-word sermon. And as a result of that word, the Assyrians all repented top down. And as a result of their repentance, God was really moved by the repentance and thus decided not to overturn the nation. So now we're at Jonah chapter 4. But it greatly displeased Jonah, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord and said, "Please, Lord, was not this what I said while I was still in my own country? Therefore, in order to forestall this, I fled to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, and one who relents concerning calamity. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for death is better to me than life." The Lord said, "Do you have a good reason to be angry?" Then Jonah went out from the city and sat east of it. There he made a shelter for himself and sat under it in the shade until he could see what would happen in the city. So the Lord God appointed a plant, and it grew up over Jonah to be a shade over his head to deliver him from his discomfort. And Jonah was extremely happy about the plant. But God appointed a worm when dawn came the next day, and it attacked the plant, and it withered. When the sun came up, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on Jonah's head so that he became faint and begged with all his soul to die, saying, "Death is better to me than life." Then God said to Jonah, "Do you have a good reason to be angry about the plant?" And he said, "I have good reason to be angry, even to death." Then the Lord said, "You had compassion on the plant for which you did not work and which you did not cause to grow, which came overnight and perished overnight. Should I not have compassion on Nineveh, the great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know the difference between their right and left hand, as well as many animals?" Amen. So, verse 1. Really odd reaction by Jonah, right? It says, but it greatly displeased Jonah, and he became angry. So, really odd reaction. Most preachers, or most of us, after we share the word, we would hope for this repentance and revival to break out. But instead, it greatly displeased Jonah, and he became really angry at the result. If you look at overall, because this is the last chapter, but if you look at from chapter 1 to 4, you see actually that Jonah, this whole story, everything is upside down, right? Everyone who's supposed to be bad is good. Everyone who's supposed to be good seems bad. So the people who seem bad bar good is, for example, the people who are on the ship with Jonah, right? These ruffians, supposedly you would think they'd be bad, but they're so receptive to God. You know, they repent, they're so fearful, and that's at the end, after they throw Jonah into the ocean, they all like recognize God's goodness. And then you have the Ninevites, who, you know, terrible, evil nation, and they all repent, right? And they love God. And whereas Jonah, who's supposed to be good, he's the one who's always bad, right? Everything is kind of upside down. And he was greatly displeased from what God, amazing miracle that God did, causing a whole nation to repent, and he started to become angry. And then he prayed to the Lord and said, verse 2, "Please, Lord, was not this what I said while I was still in my country? Therefore, in order to forestall this, I fled to Tarshish, for I knew that you are gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, and one who relents concerning calamity." So he's saying, "I knew it, God. I knew this would happen," right? And it kind of explains now why Jonah, the sermon he preached was so odd, right? This is his sermon. In Jonah 3, verse 4, Jonah said, Jonah went into the city, and this is his entire sermon. "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh will be overthrown." That was it, right? But that's actually what he was hoping for. So his hope, even though he preached this message, he was actually hoping that God would come and overthrow and destroy Nineveh. That's actually what he wanted deep down. But instead, God, he's like, "I knew it, God, but I knew you." It's so odd, right? Because it seems like in one sense he knows God so well. So he's like, "I knew, God, I know who you are. You're slow to anger, abundant in loving kindness, and one who relents concerning calamity." And that's true, right? And because God was exactly who Jonah thinks he is, he's really bitter right now. And then he says, "Therefore now," verse 3, "O Lord, please take my life from me, for death is better to me than life." So melodramatic, right? Just like, it's not like anything really bad happened to him. Is he suffering? No, God just used him supernaturally, but it was not how he wanted it. And he's like, "Just kill me," right? And this is actually not the first time. So once you get to chapter 4, it gives you a lot of insight. In chapter 1, verse 2, when the storm comes, remember, it seems like Jonah's very heroic. And because the sailors ask him, "What should I do? What should we do? What should we do? Nothing's working." And Jonah says, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you. For I know that on account of me, this great storm has come upon you." So, I mean, who knows what was really going on in Jonah's heart. But maybe it was, he really was, you know, sacrificing himself, or maybe he was really just not wanting to obey God still. This is like the perfect out. It's like, "Okay, just kill me." And he's like, "Yes." Because if I thought about it, like, oh, if he really wanted to stop the storm, what else could have he said besides throw me in? He could have said, "Okay, if you really want to stop the storm, sailors, just let's start rowing, take me to Nineveh." And then surely, at that point, the storm would have stopped, right? Because now he's going according to God's will. But instead, he wanted the out, right? He wanted the escape. Instead of facing things, he's like, just kill me, right? So even in death, Jonah is so self-focused on himself. Verse 4, the Lord said, "Do you have a good reason to be angry? Do you have a good reason to be angry?" And so we see here God asked him a question. Obviously, God already knows what's going on in his heart. He always knows what's going in our hearts, right? He's able to see into that. He does this all the time. He did this with Adam and Eve after they ate from the fruit that they shouldn't have. They say, he asked them, where are you? Obviously, he knows where they are. Who told you that you were naked? Right? He knows, but he wants us to answer that question. And that happens very frequently, even in my walk. It's always, for some reason, God comes with a question, right? I shared last Sunday, like when I was experiencing the prophetic, someone was trying to push me to fall, and then the question came, can't you be pushed down and still experience the power of the Holy Spirit? Something like that. And I was like, yes, that's true. Yes. So oftentimes these questions, they come, they're always rhetorical, right? But he still wants us to answer it. Because if he just tells us, I don't know why, if he just tells us the answer, we don't like it. It's almost better if we answer it, because it's like it comes from us or something. So just to point out, I keep referencing my other sermon, real submission, being real and then submitting. So what Jonah did here, when he was angry with God, right? Those emotions, those feelings, and him going, expressing it to God, it's actually okay. It wasn't bad, right? But the problem was he just held on to it, right? There needs to be that next step where you just submit it and give it over to God. And that was his chance right here. God asks Jonah, he's like, oh God, I hate you, basically. How could you do this to me? And God comes to him and says, do you have a good reason to be angry? Do you have a good reason to be angry? So at that point, if he was to take that next step, is he should have said, no, I don't have a reason to be angry. And if he really knows God is so good as he claims, he said he should have responded something to the extent of, even though I don't understand why you would save this nation, I recognize that you are good, right? Submit that anger and recognize. But then, verse 5, then, so what was Jonah's response? Instead of submitting it, he leaves. He escapes. See? Then Jonah went out from the city and sat east of it. Then he made a shelter for himself and sat under it in the shade until he could see what would happen in the city. So he basically just stands outside the city, exits outside, gets a good view of the city, and I think he was hoping maybe this repentance won't last, and then God will come and still destroy my enemies or these people I hate. So he basically leaves. And this part's really peculiar. And so God responds, it says, so the Lord appointed a plant, and it grew up over Jonah to be shade over his head to deliver him from his discomfort. And Jonah was extremely happy about the plant. Extremely happy. So funny, right? It's like after this, it seems like this really serious fight. And then God does this little itty bitty thing. He just grows a plant and gives Jonah some shade. And he's so happy. So happy. And especially from this, when I was reading, I'm like, man, Jonah is so self-centered, right? It's really just about him. In some ways, like, this really righteous thing that's happening, or he feels like this really unrighteous thing, how can you save the nations? And then something as small as a plant comes up and gives him shade, and he's so happy. And it shows what he really cares about is he just wants his needs fulfilled. And that's That's all of us, really, right? And as much as we want to say, oh, we live by faith and not by sight, right? I'm not dictated by my circumstances. We are. When nice things happen to us, it makes us happy, right? And this is Jonah. Simple little act of a little plant comes up, and he's so happy. And it says, but God appointed a worm, and when dawn came the next day, it attacked the plant, and it withered. When the sun came up, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on Jonah's head so that he became faint, and begged with all his soul dying, saying, his soul to die, saying, death is better to me than life. Again, look at his response. The plant goes away, it withers, and then there's sun and wind coming against them. I mean, he could have just stood up and walked away, right? But he's experienced this. Why, God? Why have you forsaken? Just kill me. Just kill me. It's such an extreme response to something so little, right? And that's exactly what happens when we become very self-focused, right? Your circumstances will dictate you like this. When good things happen to you, you're happy. When bad things happen to you, it's the end of the world. So extreme. And then God said to Jonah, I mean, again, he's trying to teach him, but he's just not getting it. And actually, this kind of makes things a little bit, because the way God always tries to teach his people is he tries to lead them to answer. And so he always asks them questions so that people would figure it out. And I hear also oftentimes like counselors, that's kind of their strategy as well, is to lead people into the questions. But it's really hard to do that when you're ministering to someone, always try to ask questions, and sometimes they just don't get to the answer. So I'm relieved that God basically asks him again, and he still doesn't get it, so he just tells the answer. So that, yeah. Anyway, so he says again, this time he's like, do you have good reason to be angry about the plant? A plant. And Jonah's still sticking with it. I have good reason to be angry, even to death, right? He's just so focused on, and that's what happens, right? These unresolved issues, and then when other little things happen, it seems like it's end of the world. And he's using this to make a point, right? And this, even though it seems really silly with Jonah, because the what's being used as an example is a plant, this happens so frequently, right? Things that have nothing to do with you, and it happens externally, that you really have nothing to do with, it can still affect you, right? Other people get blessed, it affects you. So funny. Sometimes other people get blessed, like people get prophesied over. People are like, oh, that was amazing, that word. God is so real. But other people receive it as, how come I didn't get a word? Why don't you love me, God? Right? You see other people being blessed, and it affects you, right? It can make you, it can even have this kind of effect, right? Where you don't feel like you're getting blessed because you see other people feeling being blessed. And this is what's happening. The Ninevites, oh, they're so happy. You save them. And it can have that extreme response, which is, just kill me. My life sucks. No one cares. You don't care, God. And then the Lord said, you had compassion on the plant, for you did not work, and which you did not cause to grow, for which came up overnight and perished overnight. Should I not have compassion on Nineveh, the great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know the difference between the right and left hand, as well as many animals? So this is his final point, just explaining it. You care so much about a plant that you would, because it withers, and even though you had no hand in even like growing it or maintaining it, or it's not like you had this intimate relationship with this plant. Yet, when the plant goes, you would say something like, just kill me. Just kill me. That's how much it seems like it matters to you. How much more do these, you know, real human beings, 120,000 people, how much more should I care about the Ninevites? And that's how it kind of ends. Hopefully, Jonah eventually does come around and submits his thoughts and his will and emotions to God. And I think that was the problem with Jonah. In one sense, he knew who God was. It seemed like he knew who God was so well. Because he says, I knew it. That you are gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents concerning calamity. So in one sense, he knew God was so good. He experienced this goodness for himself. But he only wanted that for himself. The problem came when God's character applied to everybody, right? And that's what we need to accept too, is God, his goodness, who he is not just for you. It's for the world. So I want to invite worship. And so we need to recognize that God, he loves you. He wants to take care of you. He wants to bless your life, all these things. But God didn't come to serve you, right? That's not God's role, is not to serve you. We're here to serve God in his will and his needs. And Jonah did not want to do that, right? He didn't want to do that. He was able to freely experience and receive the character of God, his loving kindness, his compassion, slow to anger, but he wasn't willing to extend that to others. And so how does that apply to us? I mean, one is we need to not be so focused on just our needs, right? We need to be focused on what are God's needs. But second is whatever we have freely received from God. So if we received generosity, if we've received forgiveness, then we need to extend that to others as well. It's not just for you. And so as Abby leads us, let's just reflect on the goodness of God, not just for us, but for everyone. And I think that's what the entire book of Jonah shows us, reveals to us. The love that God has is far beyond what Jonah could comprehend. And that's the love that God has. It applies to us. His love for us, or his love in general, is beyond what we can comprehend. Even the people you are unable to forgive, he loves. He wants to bring repentance and restoration and blessing into their life. Even the people you feel as who are the most despicable in this world, God loves and wants to also bring repentance and compassion and restoration, Lord. He wants to bring all those. And so in this book, it shows the self-centeredness of Jonah, but even more so, it shows how amazing God is, his ability to love.
Let me go. that I'm your friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. The warmth of your embrace. God, help me find a way. Lord, lead me back to you. You're all I want, and you're all I've ever needed. You're all.
I just felt led, just as Jonah, how God spoke to him and asked him that question, are you angry? I just felt the Holy Spirit wanted to allow you to also have him ask you some questions, whatever is going on with you. Maybe he's asking you as well, are you angry? Are you worried? Are you stressed? Do you trust me? Right? Just let the Holy Spirit speak to you, but and you can respond, but you can be real like Jonah, right? And you can say, yes, I'm so stressed. Yes, I'm having trouble trusting you, Lord. So you can be real. But after that, respond by submitting and making about God, right? That you would define things by God's goodness and not by just how you are feeling. And so, for example, if you were stressed with work, right? You can say, yeah, I'm so stressed. I don't know, people are mean. There's so much work. And then you would point it back to God and say, but God, I know you're the one who is in control of my life. Even at work, you're in control. You're the one who provided me this job. I have no one who I need to impress but you. So Lord, even though I feel stress, I submit I submit that stress to you because I trust you, right? Well, let's just take that time to dialogue with God. Yes, God, we just thank you for the word today and for Jonah's life. And God, Lord, would you help us to make it more about you and not us, Lord, that we would not define ourselves by our circumstances, or even more so, we wouldn't be defined by our emotions, by how we feel, Lord. And that we would really be rooted and centered on you, Lord, on your character, on who you are, God. We would look to the Word for assurance, that we would be rooted in the Word and what it says about you. We would look back in remembrance of all the things you have done, how you have always been faithful, God. You have always been faithful. And let our past in some ways with you be what helps us to define our present circumstances, and even looking to the future, that we would have hope, God, because you have always been faithful, Lord. Yes, God. So we thank you in Jesus' name. Let's just turn to our screen. And let's pray for a community. Let's pray for those listed for cancer and chemo and radiation therapy. Let's pray for God's continued hand on our loved ones, that he would bring healing, he would bring strength and comfort. Let's also cover our community for illness and salvation. We know that just as God has such a huge heart for the Assyrians, the Nineveh, he loves these people on the list too and wants to bring healing and salvation as well. Let's pray also for those who are suffering from infirmities, for the healing to come. Let's ever also cover those looking for jobs, for God to open doors, for God's provision in their life. So our Wednesday prayers start with our mission focus. Let's cover China, SP Beijing, SP Shanghai, the Chong family, and Matt and Nate parents, and all the churches, underground churches in China. Cover the board: PCM, Sandro, Max, Jackie, Connie, Ken, Chu, Marcus, Sue, and also Yi Ling. Let's cover the board that they would just be very prayerful all the time. Always have God's agenda, not their own, for wisdom. Cover the fellowship ministries, cover young adults. We have a event possibly this Saturday, depending on the rain situation. So you can pray for the weather. You can cover men's ministry, the Monday prayer, although I think it's on break during the summer, and women's ministry and Lift. Yiling, if you could change Yahweh Eats to Yahweh Summer Fun. Let's also cover SP 2.0, Building and Resources, Benefactor, Vision Fund, Third Floor Renovations. No third floor in our renovations. All done. Let's also cover Shanti VBS, which is happening this week. Let's cover the team and Yeah, just that they have such an amazing time. Yes, Father, we thank you for the word today, and we just see how great your love is, Lord, how great your love is for Jonah, and how you just keep going after him and give him chance after chance and try to teach him, and how much you love the Ninevites as well, and just from that we can see how much you love us, and how much you love Hong Kong. And so, Lord, would you help us to just really be not so self-focused, but that we could really be more God-focused, focused on your agenda, focused on what's going on. You know, even as we go to work, Lord, we wouldn't be just focused on our tasks and our needs and what we need to accomplish, but really be focused on even helping others, serving others, and open our eyes, Lord, to see what you are doing in the midst of our workplaces and how we can join in that and be part of what your kingdom will and part of your kingdom will, Lord. So we thank you. I just bless everyone here today. Bless them. Bless their spirit to connect with you, Holy Spirit, to lead them in every way, lead their mind, their body, especially lead their emotions, as with this passage, lead their emotions, and lead them in their walk today. We thank you, we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Amen, everybody, have a great day.